Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Just getting the headphones and everything all set up. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN, keeping one eye on what's going on with impeachment. Before too long, the former National Security Council official and former Ukraine special envoy will testify. Keeping one eye open on the impeachment inquiry, but also keeping many eyes open to what is happening locally. First of all, as we put on the Facebook page, there is another take on what Chick-fil-A is actually doing vis-a-vis the situation with to whom they are going to give money. And today's story, we might get into it later on today, we might not. I certainly don't want to spend another 3 hours talking about chicken sandwiches. I find that makes me far too hungry, and I can only imagine what it does to you guys listening. But there's a story out there on ChristianPost.com. Chick-fil-A denies capitulating to LGBT activists. Christian groups won't be excluded from donations. So there are two different takes now on the exactly what Chick-fil-A is going to do donation-wise. One of them reported yesterday, and we talked about it, from biznow.com, and the other reported today by christianpost.com, which seems to be largely the same as the BizNow article, but it also seems to be slightly nuanced. But there is something else going on that we have not had a chance to talk about. And I want to catch up with this because there is actually a proposal in Albany to do away with tackle football for youth 12 years old and younger. And joining us right now from the Niagara Erie Youth Sports Association, we have the president of NYSA, and his name is Ray Turpin. Ray, thanks very much for joining us on the program. Appreciate it.
Hi, Tom. How are you today?
Well, it's another day in paradise, living the dream, Ray. That's all I can tell you. But can we talk about this legislation that is pending in Albany and what it would call for specifically?
Yes, sir. The legislation was introduced to the Health Committee in January. The Health Committee, basically what they want to do is ban tackle football for all youth across New York State at 12 years and under. It's gone through the introduction process. It is now, they had a public hearing on October 29th in New York City. Basically the next step is the 26 legislator, or excuse me, 26 assemblymen and persons that are part of the health committee. If the majority voted out of committee, then it goes to the legislative session, which I believe is in the second week of January, and then it would go to the entire floor for a vote or debate and then vote. And then if they voted out of the assembly, it then goes to the New York State Senate for their review and possibly either a companion bill or they adopt it as unanimous consent.
So what are the chances that tackle football for 12-year-olds and under will be banned as you see it right now?
Oh, Tom, I don't know. We can suppose, we can reflect, we can guess, we can hypothesize. I know that there is much public sentiment against this bill. There's a lot of social media efforts against this bill. What we've tried to do within our own league, Niagara Youth Sports Association, or NASA, what we've tried to do is kind of hold rallies to get factual information, medical studies, and game plans out to our parents, our players, our coaches, and other organizations within the Western New York community. And we're kind of setting a template for other organizations across the state to kind of do the same thing. Angelo Morinello, Assemblyman Morinello, he actually held the first small rally on November 9th in North Tonawanda. And we had a lot of parents reach out to us and say, you know, we weren't able to make that. We really want more information. Can you guys put something on? So we did last night and tried to get as much information out as possible. And we're going to continue to try to raise the level of education and information until we can see this thing defeated.
Of course, you know, we tried to raise the level of information and education on this show regarding the vaping issue, and it looks like that all came to naught. It's almost like in Albany, when they grab hold of what they believe to be a politically popular or progressive issue, in this case, the banning of tackling in football for 12-year-olds and under, they're going to ram it through come what come may.
Well, and that's, you know, as you're aware, the legislation on all levels, you know, they put out a very quiet notice that there'll be a hearing. They have a hearing in an obscure location on a very odd date, and then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, it becomes law. And what we're trying to do is just bring it out in the open, and let's have some open discourse about it. Let's have open communication. Let's hear from all sides. You know, I don't know how the rest of the country feels, but it's not easy to get from Buffalo to New York, especially during the week. With many of us that have jobs and occupations, that we can't just drop them and you know, just shoot to New York. You know, it's not an hour drive to get there. So what we're trying to do is, and you're exactly right with the vaping, you know, they came out with an idea. For some reason, for whatever reason, they decided to push this thing through. It's halfway to legislation, so we're just trying to do everything we can to fight it.
Ray Turpin is the president of the Niagara Erie Youth Sports Association. Now, as president of that association, do you deal with other sports other than football, or is it strictly football?
Well, we're the largest youth football and cheerleading organization in Western New York. So we deal with both football and cheerleading. We're the third largest in New York State. We're associated with an organization called the Western New York Amateur Football Alliance. They primarily deal with, youth football and cheerleading. And they represent, I believe it's 8 leagues in Western New York. So the greater majority of us kind of fall under this umbrella of the alliance. And we all are trying to, you know, do the right thing and go from there. But just to give you an idea, We have 17 member organizations within our league. We're talking over 80 football teams, 50 cheerleading teams, over 450 coaches. We're talking close to 2,500 kids, and that's just in our location that primarily serves Niagara and Erie County. So we're not involved in other sports, although I have heard from a couple of other sports, you know, that have reached out to me and said, you know, we support what you're doing. God bless, and just keep doing what you're doing, and hopefully we can. Because if they ban youth tackling in youth football, and they're using some flawed data about CTEs in NFL players or football players that played for 30 years back before they have a lot of the safety things that are incorporated today, if they get rid of football, all I can imagine is, what's going to happen with youth soccer? What's going to happen with cheerleading? What's going to happen with hockey? What's going to happen with basketball?
Baseball.
Any of those somewhat contact sports, you know, if they can get rid of football, with the strength that, that football has in the United States, you know, there's no other sport that, that'll be safe.
Anyway, we haven't even talked about karate, judo, or the martial arts that so many kids get into at a very early age. Why do you think that football is being singled out? What are your personal thoughts on that?
My personal thoughts, Tom, is that it all stemmed from the CTE lawsuits that came out against the NFL. And, you know, the NFL is the juggernaut that it is. And so, you know, you can't fight the NFL. They're just too big. They're too powerful. So legislators, they just can't fight the NFL. So who are they going to fight? Well, they're not going to go after the NCAA because that's almost as big. Population-wise, it's much bigger. But, you know, from a financial standpoint, probably not as big as the NFL. But so as you start going down, well, who can you attack? And if you want to get the NFL, well, how can you do that? You can weaken the foundation. Tony Caligiuri, a good friend of yours and a good friend of mine, you know, he said, you take away youth football, you take away the foundation of football all the way up to the highest levels. So if we're going to get rid of tackle football until they're 13, you've just reduced the total number of kids that are going to even want to come out and play, which is going to reduce that value of New York State football players, which eventually will reach across the country when other states adopt it. So
right.
I think it all started because of the NFL CTE, which tragic, absolutely people, the illnesses and the injuries suffered from these cumulative traumas. But the game has changed significantly, Tom. In the last 10 years alone, USA Football, the national governing body of football, they have established coaching certifications. They've established practice guidelines. They've established new tackling techniques and new blocking techniques. And there's just so many things, equipment fitting, recognition of concussion awareness, concussion protocols, medically trained people on standby, emergency action plans. I mean, there's been so many things that have been adopted in the last 10 years as a result of the initial CTE lawsuits against the NFL to make the game of football that much more safer.
So is there any medical basis at all for banning tackling for kids 12 years old and younger? I mean, what do the data show?
There's so many studies that are out there, Tom. Dr. John Leddy, who's with the University of Buffalo Concussion Management Clinic, he's the medical director. He's out of country right now. We had asked him to come and speak at our rally last night. He basically says that there's no evidence currently to support anything to ban youth tackling at youth football. There's been study after study after study. If you go to our website at NiagaraErieYouthSports.com, we have data there. There's data at the New York State Council on Youth Football, which is a statewide organization that is basically bringing together all the youth organizations across the state to have a consensus, to have one voice. So there's data. If it's not on there, it will be by tomorrow, I'm sure. But there's studies there that show University of Colorado studied 11,000 people, non-contact sport, contact sport, football, and they found that there was no association between any contact sport and any kind of cognitive or depressive type of symptoms or issues. So there are so many peer-reviewed studies. And that's the key, Tom, is we have to look at peer-reviewed studies. Some of the studies that the legislator is considering have not been peer-reviewed. It's somebody that published in an obscure document and said, oh, my God, look at this. You know, youth tackling youth football results, like I heard 500 hits in a season to the head. I coached for 25 years. I don't recall any of my kids having those kinds of numbers of hits to the head in a season. So it comes down to there's multiple studies out there. They're peer-reviewed. They're good empirical data, but it's not readily available. And so because it's not readily available, people just don't know about it.
Ray Turpin is the president of Niagara Erie Youth Sports Association, and in Albany, there's actually legislation that would ban tackle football for kids 12 years old and under. On the other side of this, Ray, have any parents stepped forward and said, hey, look, I think this is a good idea. I want my kid to play football, but I want to minimize the possibility of any risk to my kid's body?
We've had the majority of parents that I speak to or that reach out to me, the majority of them are against the ban. They love this game. They love what this game teaches. They love the life skills that this game teaches. I do hear on occasion, I'll hear from parents that are on the fence, that are, you know, I'm not sure, because I hear about these CTEs. I hear about all of these issues and problems. And so it's like, look, I get it. You know, research, educate yourself. And that's part of what we're trying to do. But it's like, look at every side of the coin before you make that choice. And that's one of the things that we stress. You know, it should be a parent's decision whether or not they allow their children to play a sport. And but base that decision on fact. Don't base it on hysteria or entertainment or some obfuscation that's being done by alternate parties.
Here's what I don't understand. So if you ban tackling for football players 12 years old and younger, and you allow tackling starting at 13, I mean, you're allowing tackling just at the time, you know, puberty kicks in and these kids start to get much bigger and much stronger.
Yes, sir. And I invite these parents, like you said, the ones that are on the fence, I invite them out to watch the games. So we have kids that play at 5, 6, and 7.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
And this is our modified, we call them the minis. They're on a shorter field. Tom, they don't generate enough force to sometimes even knock each other over. I mean, it's almost like hugging watching these kids. Now, do you have some kids that are really good athletes and really can get after it? Yes, you do. But they're not generating the kind of force that we're talking about that would lead to these cumulative trauma disorders. So, and you're absolutely right. At 13, all of a sudden, these young men, and they've gone from boys to young men. Now they've got some testosterone. Now they've got, you know, some hair on their chest. And they're much more aggressive. And they're going to, you know, they're bigger, they're stronger, they're faster. So now all of a sudden, we want them to start hitting and tackling and blocking when they've never had the opportunity to learn the fundamentals and how to tackle, how to hit, how to take a hit. We haven't taught them. They haven't learned that muscle memory to get there. And so at 13, and that's what I'm saying, you get a kid that's 13, that's never tackled, never hit, never taken a hit, and all of a sudden you put him in a practice, he gets hit, the first thing he's going to say is, I'm done. I'm going to do something else.
Right. I've got a few more questions for you, Ray. If you want to hold on, I'd appreciate the info very much. We're talking with Ray Turpin, president of the Niagara Erie Youth Sports Association. And the question is, should tackling in youth football be banned for kids 12 years old and younger? I didn't play football when I was a kid. I wanted to play football in high school, but actually I had a very good friend talk me out of it who said, Tom, your knees are going to just be destroyed for life. Don't do it. Just stick with hockey. And I was a hockey parent when the kids were smaller. Hockey's my game. It's more of my game, but I'm coming to an appreciation of football. Stay with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. Much more to come, including your opportunity to win tickets for KISS, the end of the road tour. And stand by, we will have a chance for you to win tickets to see KISS, the end of the road tour, taking place in February. Stay listening for your chance to win. We will make it very, very obvious when it is you should call in. Also, the topic that we're doing right now is, should tackle football be banned for kids 12 years old and under? It's actually being talked about in Albany. And if there's one thing that we have learned, it is that the more absurd it sounds what they are talking about in Albany, the greater likelihood it will become reality. And one of the expressions you have heard as we've talked with Ray Turpin, who is the president of Niagara Erie Youth Sports Association, is CTE. And that is an acronym for chronic traumatic encephalopathy. CTE, a degenerative disease. And it is believed to be caused by repeated blows to the head. Whole bunch of symptoms such as memory loss, confusion, depression, dementia. And again, we go back to Ray Turpin. In all of your years with your involvement in youth football, roughly how many serious injuries have you had to report on or are you aware of? And, what kind of injuries have they been?
Well, in all the years, Tom, between coaching and then running these organizations, I've probably seen maybe a handful of serious season-ending type injuries. Most of them have occurred in practice. On occasion, we might see some in a game. The majority of them were not concussion-related. The majority of them were actually broken bones, broken arms, broken legs, torn ligaments. I think in all of the years and the hundreds, if not thousands, of kids that I've coached or been around, concussions are probably the least of the total injuries that have occurred in youth tackle football.
Of the injuries you have seen with youth tackle football, what percentage of them have actually been related to the tackling part of the game?
Well, that's a good question too. Sometimes it's just a player falls and lands incorrectly. He tries to put his arm down or his hand down. Sometimes there was a tackle, but a body part got caught in between a couple of players. So the tackle portion of itself, it's tough to say percentage-wise, but looking back, I would say that it is a contact sport. There will be injuries that result in a contact sport, but what we try to do is minimize those contacts through practice guidelines and better awareness of the coaches to put the kids in better positions to hit and to be hit. So it's kind of tough to say how many, like I said, serious injuries on one hand for all the years that I've been involved.
Why is it so important to you that tackling be allowed for children 12 years old and younger in playing football?
Well, I think, Tom, that you know, I mentioned earlier that the game of football teaches skills and life lessons like no other team sport. It's one of the only sports, and I appreciate your love of hockey, but football is one of the only sports that if all 11 on your side of the field are not doing their job, that as a team you're not going to be successful. So it is the epitome of a team sport that all 11 have to do their job. You could have 10 great athletes that are doing exactly what they're supposed to do, and you could have one great athlete that doesn't do his or her job, and the play will fail. And you're not going to be successful. It's the only team sport that you could get knocked down every single play, and you have 40 seconds to get back on your feet and go do it again. And it teaches integrity. It teaches respect. It teaches sportsmanship. It teaches so many things that you know, you get knocked down, you got to get back up. You got to keep working. And to me, that tackling, teaching it at a younger age, at 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, teaching kids how to properly tackle, teaching kids how to properly block, teaching kids how to keep their head out of the way, keep their eyes up, understand their position, their body position, and teaching these kids over and over and over again so that their muscle memory becomes to the point where it becomes reactive rather than thinking about what they're doing.
And as you well know, it is not just now that football has come under the microscope of government. In its early days, there were strong arguments made by political types to ban the game altogether as far too dangerous.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
So is there anything that you want to say about tackle football involving 12-year-olds and younger that I did not specifically ask you, but that you believe it is important for people to know?
Well, I think the biggest fear right now is everyone talks about the CTE. And I think that we have to understand that the brain is an organ just like, you know, it's part of other organs in the body. And if we injure another part of the body, and we do not allow for adequate recovery time, that body part will never fully heal. And it's the same thing with the brain. If the brain gets dinged, and it could get dinged just by slipping and falling. It could get dinged by, you know, multiple different activities. It's not necessarily a head-to-head hit. It could be just a blow to the body. But if we allow for adequate recovery time, if we have medical professionals that are very familiar with the signs and symptoms of a concussion, and they can diagnose it properly, and then the organization can basically implement a concussion protocol so that the medical professional says, no, the athlete cannot play, but when we do give the athlete clearance to play, then they go through a 5-day symptom-free process, and if they get through those 5 days, then their brain basically has adequately healed to the point where we can allow them to come back. But if they show any symptoms, then they go back into the protocol. So it's a matter of allowing the body to recover, just like in the workplace, Tom, when you talk about ergonomics and musculoskeletal disorders, cumulative trauma disorders, it's the same thing. If you're working on an assembly line, and you're doing the same motion over and over and over again, you're going to cause damage to that organ, body part, or skeleton part. If you allow for adequate recovery time, it's going to significantly reduce those problems. So if we look at this from a safety standpoint, we are doing everything possible. We're learning more each year. We're doing better things each year to make the game safer. We're following USA protocols. NASA is one of 4 leagues in the country that have been selected out of 9,000 leagues to implement what they call a football development model that incorporates all aspects of developing the whole athlete. So progressive entry points to the game of football. So if you incorporate all of those things along with the true and peer-reviewed medical data, I think you'll see that the game is safer now than it has ever been.
All right, Ray Turpin, thank you very much for joining us as president of the Niagara Erie Youth Sports Association. Appreciate your time very much.
Thanks, Tom.
And, of course, another contact sport, the impeachment inquiry. We'll have an ABC update coming up in about 3 minutes on that. So based on what you have heard from Ray Turpin and based on your own personal experiences, I want to find out from you guys if you agree or disagree with the idea that tackle football for players 12 years old and younger should be banned. If you are a parent or grandparent of a youth football player, you will be in a far better position to opine than I, because I was a hockey player and I was a hockey parent. But I have to tell you that if it starts with football, how long will it be before it crosses over into hockey? How long will it be before it crosses over into soccer? And dare I say baseball? Played hockey for 5 or 6 years with the only injury of any remark being when I had a piece of hockey tape stuck on the blade of my skate and I used my fingers to jerk it up on the skate blade and cut a finger down to the bone. That was the most serious injury I ever suffered playing hockey. Baseball, on the other hand, Lincoln Field, pop fly. I must have been about 10 years old, lost it in the sun. Had no idea where the ball was. And, of course, where did it land? It landed square on the head. I went down like a ton of bricks. So your call on this at 803-0930, is this something that makes sense? Banning tackling for 12-year-olds and younger? Or is this another example of the attempt at wussification of America? Or as somebody, and I'll paraphrase what somebody said on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, is this an example of the people who had sand kicked in their faces as kids are now in a position of power, and their job is basically to get back at all of the jocks? The phone number is 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. You might have been a youth football player. You might be the parent of a youth football player or closely related to a youth football player. Would you prefer to see tackling? Would you prefer to see no tackling rule in place, as is actually being discussed by our state lawmakers in Albany? And like I said, guys, if we've learned one thing about New York State in the past several years, it is the more ludicrous something may sound on the surface of it, like a law banning the declawing of cats, the more ludicrous it sounds, the more likely it is to actually be enacted as statute in New York State. It just seems to work that way. Should tackling be banned in youth football for players who are 12 years old and under? And where is that going to leave your kid in judo or karate or soccer or hockey or even baseball down the line? Here's Sal in North Tonawanda. Sal.
Hi, how you doing, Tom?
Quite well. Living the dream. You?
Yeah, me too. I absolutely disagree with this ban they're proposing. My son, he's played in North Tonawanda Football League. I was on the board for 5 years and for the NTAA. Right now, he's a junior in high school in North Tonawanda. His Heather football banquet yesterday, most wonderful thing I've ever seen in a long time. And how well they talk about how well these kids do and, you know, how they live their life. And in all my years of being associated with this program, I have never seen any serious injury. I was in the booth calling the games for the 3 games on the Saturdays and Sundays. From the beginning when my son, my older son, played in Tonawanda and how they are now, it's much different. The way they tackle, the way they handle things, the way if someone does get injury and the protocol they do, if they get hurt, it's amazing. And what I see is going to happen if they ban football for 12 and under.
Well, they'd be banning the tackling in football.
Tackling. Well, you're going to see kids going out and playing the street games. That's where they're getting hurt. They're going to go, and you're going to have the fathers take their sons to play against other kids and without equipment possibly or even with equipment, and that's when they're going to get hurt. They're not taught how to tackle properly.
You know, that's a great point, because when we would have pickup games of football, we didn't have equipment, and yet we did a lot of tackling. And when I was growing up, Evel Knievel was a big deal. So we used to go on our bicycles and do some really stupid things with our bikes. It's amazing we didn't end up with broken necks.
You grew up where I went to high school with you. We used to take our bikes to Lincoln Park, running them off the pool and doing crazy things without helmets and things of that nature. But football, you remember... My parents never let me play football in the town of Tonawanda. And so we would play pickup games, tackling when we were 10, 11, 12 years old. And that's when we got hurt. That's when the ankles were snapped and, you know, they hit the head to the ground because no one taught us to do it right. We didn't have equipment. And that's what it's going to be forced, what these kids are going to end up doing.
So what is your analysis? Is this a genuine concern for the safety of kids, or is this just part of a larger pattern of the wussification of America?
It's not the safety of the kids. It's a whole larger picture that you're saying. There's some underlying theme behind this that we don't know about. I mean, I've seen these little kids play football. Like you said, the gentleman before, the president, they're not killing each other. They're little kids, 6, 7 years old. They're instructed. The coaches are on the field. They're teaching them the right way. No one, it's not out, I believe, to protect the kids' safety. Otherwise, they would ban other sports too. I think they're starting, like you said, starting with football and moving down.
Yep. All right, well, we'll see what some other people have to say. Thanks very much. I'm watching Ambassador Volker on one part of my head, one eye on the TV screen, testifying at the impeachment hearing, and there's a woman seated over his left shoulder, and I just watched her with a handkerchief or a tissue to her nose for about 30 seconds, and then she took it away, and then she put it back for another 30 seconds, and I'm trying to figure out if she was crying over what the ambassador was saying or if she was having some kind of an allergy attack. She's not doing it right now, but I was just watching it out of the corner of my eye, perplexed as to what was going on. It looked like an ad for Kleenex or Puffs or something. It is 3:56 at News Radio 930 WBEN. And our phone number, your thoughts on should tackling be banned in youth football for 12-year-olds and younger? Do you let your kids play contact sports? And what are the ramifications of this down the line? You can call now and grab a line or wait till news is wrapping up at 803-0930. Star 930 or 1-800-616-WBEN.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.